Welcome to today's comedy podcast, a once-a-week sampler of just a few of the many, many comedy podcasts out there, with new episodes posting every week. You're going to hear from comedy's most popular podcasts, some that you've never heard of, and emerging new pods that you might want to check out. Of course, when you hear something you like, go check out the entire podcast where you download or stream your pods most. This is merely a taste sampler to help you discover some of the latest episodes in today's comedy podcast. Let's get started. Here's with special guest Lauren Lapkus from Earwolf, where every week Lauren Lapkus is the guest, not the host. Her guest becomes the host, and the host this week is Conan O'Brien.
She's the host, but she's always the guest, and the guest is the host, so she's not really the host. It's with special guest Lauren Lapkus, with your host, somebody else.
All right, well, on that note, I think we should bring out our guest.
I think we should.
Put your hands together for Conan O'Brien! Oh, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
Here.
We're so
so.
Ooh, it's like
Conan.
A milkshake.
I'm not driving home, so. I was not prepared for my introduction. Usually you know in show business when your introduction's happening. You ladies are delightful, and I was howling backstage, and then, but you're talking, and there's no
right.
rhythm
yeah,
that
have.
I can understand. So I started looking at the paintings backstage, and I wandered all the way that way, and then I heard, on that note, Conan O'Brien! And I have really long legs. I am a giant monster of a... of a Jeff Goldblum man-child, and I... these legs were pumping backstage to get out here. I've never been that late.
Isn't that fun?
I was horrified, and I apologize.
We noticed.
Yeah, you were... there was no gradual, well, okay.
No, I was...
our next guest kind of made comedy as we know it, you know? We all grew up watching him, and but there was nothing like that.
Nope.
There was just like, on that, no. Where is he?
Hey,
man, you gotta give a guy a build-up.
But here's the thing.
Well, I thought you didn't need a build-up.
Yeah, you didn't yeah, need you a build-up.
I need a build-up.
I mean, okay.
I am an older man. I need a build-up.
It feels like you're just so used to being the host that this is throwing you.
No! Throwing me at all. That threw me
okay,
a little.
Okay, but this is interesting. Because do you ever feel like... never taking a sip?
What's that?
You never take a sip, you just... give a little bit more.
That's what my dad does with milk. Is he puts a tiny bit of milk in the bottom. My dad is going to be 89 in January. He
oh
puts
my God.
It. He gets a big mug out, puts a tiny bit of skim milk at the bottom, and sips it, and puts it down, and then puts a tiny bit more. And it's his way of feeling puritanical. But by the end of the night, he's had 600 gallons.
Over on Earwolf, Kevin Pollak's chat show has Maria Bamford. It's episode number 353.
Welcome back to Kevin Pollak's chat show. I am, as always, chat show. How the hell are you? No, seriously. Yeah, let's just get to the fun of this damn thing. So she's in this documentary that I directed called Misery Loves Comedy. More importantly, she's had an illustrious career, and people like, that wrote this note down, that was, I don't know if this is embarrassing when these sort of proclamations are made, but it was Colbert and Apatow both said, she is the funniest person on the planet. She's the funniest comedian I know. Please welcome Maria Bamford. Maria.
Well.
So what are you?
Kevin.
Did Colbert say that to your face?
He said that to my face. It was delightful. I have to say, which.
Yeah.
Then a British comic pointed out that the next time I was on, he said, one of the funniest
yes.
comedians.
Already downgraded.
which is totally makes sense because I am, I mean, that's what happens is you think somebody's the best, and then you see them in person, you go, not so much, except for a few amazing people. Anyways, it's I think it's extremely subjective, but I'm grateful that they said that at any time.
Even if they would never say it or think it again.
Yes.
They thought to say it, and that makes it real in that moment.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because there was no pressure. That was not part of the pre-interview.
Yeah.
What would you like Mr. Colbert to say? Well, I'd like him to say that I am the funniest person he's ever seen. That would be great. Is that possible? Who would say that in the pre-interview? So
that's adorably what I'm introduced as.
Yeah.
That's my intro.
Yeah. But Stephen Colbert said those very words. So
yeah, that's very, very kind and very supportive and, lovely. If I were more ambitious, mm-hmm. perhaps I would have used that to trampoline myself into a place of fame and fortune,
sure.
Far beyond of what I've achieved. But I am tired.
Yeah. That's all. That stuff's a lot of work.
Turns out, people who are extremely famous are there for a reason. They are. Hustling.
Yeah.
They are doing a great job.
It's nonstop, never ending. And then there's the luck factor.
There's a luck factor, but I think
– But it's a lot of work.
It's serious. I was just on and you know what? Have you ever been defined by something, the facts that surround you, and you go, oh, this isn't an anomaly. This is what is who I am. I was on a celebrity edition of Worst Cooks.
Oh.
And which is who's who of who.
Sure, sure.
And I ended up it's still on the air, so I probably shouldn't say what happens. But anyways, it was –
Spoiler alert.
Very humbling in that, you know, I was the least known person on the show. The other people were just – incredible performers as well as hard workers. It was 16 hours a day in a kitchen. It was not it was non-union. So they had things like the 6-hour turnaround where they're like – and at one point they said, oh, we're gonna do some Frankensteining, you need to stay an extra hour. And I said to a PA, I said, hey.
Over on iTunes, Chris Hardwick with his new podcast, ID10T, has as his special guest Louis Anderson and his mom.
And now here's the ID10T podcast, number 954, with Louis Anderson and my mom, Sharon Hills. Hey, Mom. It's the name of Louis's book. I'm also saying, hey, Mom. Also, hey, Katie. Hey, roll the thing.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
No official start to these.
Yeah, these things, you know, they're the best podcasts when they're just sitting around and somebody says the real thing.
So just to give everyone some context, Louis Anderson is here in my living room and has written a book called Hey Mom. And then before he came on the podcast, said, hey, what if your mom said on the podcast, which delighted her because she also adores you.
You know, and I adore your mom. So people don't know that your mom is a fan of mine.
Huge fan.
Which I'm always like, because comics used to kind of sneer at me in the back of the comedy, you know, like I think it was Howie who might have said it to me once, Howie Mandel. You know, Louis, my mom doesn't ask about how my career is going. She's asked how you're doing. Something like that. She doesn't care about what I'm doing, but she asks about how you are.
That's incredibly aggressive for a Canadian, too.
Yes, Howie's, yes, that's true.
And for Howie, who's like the nicest guy.
He is, but I mean, I think he felt like, my mom never asked me about how I'm doing.
And I always say...
Maybe it wasn't Howie either, because I'm older now, so I forget everything.
Let's just say it's him. It's fine. He'll take it. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I always say, Louis's comedy is very clean, and he's hilarious.
I know.
Hint.
I'm so ashamed of how dirty I am on stage. I really wish I could crack the clean joke, but I just, my brain never goes there.
I was just made for that. I just was a disciple of a bunch of guys who were, you know, Bob Hope and Jack Benny and Johnny Carson and, you know, Jonathan Winters and also Jackie Vernon, who was a beautiful comic. And so I just, and it fits me better. Like if I go, you bastard.
Yeah, I guess.
Son of a bitch.
It's
I'm not that
funnier.
F out of you. I can't even say it again like
it's
that.
It's getting funnier.
You
know, every
you want
time.
Me to cut you open and pee on you? I'll do it. It's not that it's.
It's listen, that, you might be onto something.
Maybe that's my new album. Will you produce it?
I will. Yes. Going super blue. Yeah.
The Old Ones with Mike Birbiglia, now heard on iTunes, is a very limited series of podcasts where Mike and one of his guests discuss each of his sets. For Two Drink Mike, his friend, Ira Glass, is in the studio.
Okay, so how does your podcast begin? I've never heard your podcast, Mike.
Oh, man. That's a deep cut. Right out of the gate.
I haven't listened to them, not at all. I could have to prepare for this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of, I do a podcast too. Have you heard it?
Is it Serial?
So how long is your podcast?
I like
put on headphones. Right. How long is your podcast?
I like S-Town. Are you involved with that?
How long is your podcast?
No, I like This American Life the most, and actually the recent episodes have been, we were just saying this off air, maybe on air, depending on what you recorded. It's been incredible. The podcast itself is going to be, it's intercut audio from the album, mm-hmm. Today, Sleepwalk With Me.
Oh, with the conversation we have about it.
And intercut with our conversation about it.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you a story tonight, and it's a crazy story. You know, it's just one of those very rare moments in your life where in retrospect you're like, what the hell? And at the time you're like, I guess I'll continue living. I don't know. It's like if you went to the dentist and he asked you to take your pants off and you're just like, I don't know, you know. I'm going to make a note of this. This seems strange.
So where should we start? Because I have, as you see, I've brought with me notes.
Yeah.
I am deeply familiar
with
Sleepwalk With Me.
Certainly.
Because I saw you do it on stage many, many times, and then
That's
we adapted it into a film.
Mm-hmm. That you produced and co-wrote.
Do you worry sometimes, like the plot of this story where you jump through the window, it's so memorable. Are there people who know you as the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know what you're going to say. They do.
And do you worry, like,
go,
this is the most famous...
Yeah, that's the sleepwalking guy.
Yeah, and do you worry that this is the most famous thing you'll ever do?
Absolutely, yeah. Because it's like a physical ailment. Like, it's not cured. Like, that's what I have to point that out in my new show. Like there is no cure for what I have. If I had died, I don't say this in the show, but if I had died, my death, jumping through the window, my death would have been described in the coroner's report as a pseudo-suicide. In other words, that he committed suicide. I'm like, no, give me suicide. No air quotes, you know. it's a really strange thing. There's a bunch of people who just know me as this guy who has this severe sleepwalking disorder. And so, yeah, the new show and everything that follows, I'm just trying to make something that's more memorable than that.
But it's hard because how many life experiences can a person have that are as memorable as that?
Well, that's what I always say when people say, how did you get on This American Life? Well, I say, well, I jumped through a window. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. What do you got?
Dennis Miller's new podcast for Podcast One is called The Dennis Miller Option. And he's visiting with one of his old friends from Saturday Night Live, Dana Carvey.
This is The Dennis Miller Option.
The Dennis Miller Option.
Your weekly source of opinions, stories, and laughs from comedian/comedian Dennis Miller and his guy Friday, Christian Blatt.
Christian Blatt.
So let's light that candle, Hiroshi. Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Miller.
I'd folly into hell, you magnificent sons of bitches. Welcome to the Dennis Miller Option. You know why I chose that? And Christian is in the sidecar. Bat Mike, what's happening, Christian?
What's up, boss?
And by the way, do you know who there's a musician in Rear Window? Have you seen Rear Window, Christian? Or are you still a voyeur, as a matter of fact?
Well, I do look into a lot of Rear Windows, but I've also seen the film version. Yes.
Well, the man who plays the piano is Ross Bagdasarian Sr.
No.
And Ross Bagdasarian Sr. invented – that man in that shot invented the chipmunks.
Wow.
Just a little fun fact. I happen to know his son, and he was always proud that his, naturally so, that his dad was the guy up in the window noodling on the piano. And remember, I don't know if this is before or after. Imagine you're walking through and you have an under five part, granted in a classic, and it's a sweet little part. But, you know, as you walk by, you have that lament where you now have sag dental. But you're wondering, where do I go from here? What do I do? I got to get a bigger part in this. I want to be the Ray Burr guy. And as you're thinking, you're not looking, and you've got your mate. You're the first person on the North American continent who's kiting in mate from Peru. And you accidentally hip, Bo Jackson, hip joint into the 78, 45 RPM thing on your record player, and you're a billionaire. Like you crank the speed up on some, you were listening to the Vantino brothers or something, and you accidentally hit 78 and all of a sudden Christmas time, and you're rich as Croesus. Such are the vagaries of fate.
Well, a man who is also rich as Croesus but has not invented anything chipmunk related is our friend Dana Carvey, who has called in.
Oh, believe me, I have been with Carvey during a chipmunk incident at Lenox Hill Hospital. I think you remember my friend Carvey.
Yes.
Well, we won't talk about it. So what's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm in an undisclosed location in Hollywood, California.
Carve, you know what I'm looking at? I have a picture in my office of I'm dressed up as Coco and Kevin's Michu, or Kevin's LeBay, and you're Michu, right? Is that what we called you?
Yeah, Michu, yeah.
Coco, Mish, and LeBay, we've all got clown suits on. We're in some simulated French countryside. You look so much like one of those. Remember Bowie had that video? You're all dressed up in some boom, 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 boom. And Kevin, I don't even think Kevin could do this today because he's got himself all contorted up. He no doubt would get hit with some sort of Quasimodo lawsuit for being, you know, not having feelings or something. I'm standing there in a pink thing like I'm doing Update, just with a big yellow feather hanging off my head. But other than that, it's my inability to immerse myself into any sort of character study. But the three of us, Coco, Michu, and LeBay, and I think I did that on a dare, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't really – it was the first season, and you brought that the heavy guns out. I went, what is this? I mean, you were an auteur in this one. This was your baby, right? Where did you get that from?
You had the office next to me, and I remember sitting in there one night, and I said, I bet you if I made something artsy enough and ethereal enough and weird enough that I could get it on in one of the late segments. Because I think we had just gone through a late segment like Jim Downey had written.
Jay Moore's podcast with Podcast One is More Stories with Jay Moore. He's got movie producer and writer Todd Garner. It's episode 442.
Todd Garner is my guest on More Stories. I almost did like a fake radio voice, like, all right, Todd, let me just do this intro. Todd Garner's in the house. Welcome back. Rape Kit and Carl Space. Friday Fart Song coming up. If you had entrance music, what would your entrance music be? Like in WWE or like fighting? Like, here comes Todd Garner. Because you hear the music, I know you're coming in.
I would. You know what I would do? I think I would do the cult ceremony. Just so it would be like weird and like a little bit of like you might get like some Tony Robbins going there, but like then it would feel a little bit religious. Like I'm just psychotic. That's I think.
Life's
that's
not it. Happening. You grab the mic. Did the stick work? Life's not happening to you. It's happening for you.
That's right.
Now let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
So here's a ceremony by the cult. Ready? Hold on. Oh, Todd Garner's coming in. Todd Garner in the Octagon. My man, I'm happy to talk to you. I love your podcast.
Thank you, brother.
I saw the hashtag Producer's Guide. What's the actual name of it on Podcast One? The Podcast One app, by the way, you guys, get it. They've They've hoarded all the podcasts.
They have a lot.
There's still a More Stories app. You can do
my, that. My original idea was going to be, so you want to be a producer? And it just didn't know. And everybody's like, yeah, no, I don't think that's what it's going to be. Because that's how the whole
Norm,
thing started.
Norm helped you with the title?
That was his idea with me. Norm and I were like, yeah, man, so you want to be a producer? That's good. That's what it should be in the net. And then all the logic people came and went, that's not good. That's really long. It's a lot of letters.
You also don't want it to end in a – I don't think you want it to end in a question mark.
No, no, exactly. You want to make more of a definitive statement.
And it's Producer's Guide.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Producer's Guide.
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's perfect. Hashtag yeah. Producer's Guide.
That's it.
Warriors, mount up. Hit subscribe. I listened to 3 episodes – in the last couple of days, and I tell you, man, I've known you a long time, mm-hmm. and you've always been right by me. You know, we, like, are we there yet? I didn't even know you produced.
Well, so I didn't produce it. I was the executive on the first one, and then I was producer.
That's the one I was in.
Yeah. Well, I know.
But I don't know what the...
The second one was already done yet.
But are we there yet if you were the...
I was running the studio at the time. I have an executive producer.
Well, you have to sign off on me being
true.
In the movie.
True. I consider Matt Alvarez the real producer on that because he was on the set with you guys.
He's a good guy, too.
Great guy.
And Ice Cube's work ethic was, like, somebody asked, Landon Lynn said, I'd love to know stories about Are We There Yet? Maybe some old Jay Moore stories. I'm like, I don't know if there's a single Jay Moore story from that movie.
Right.
Is there?
Well, you know, the way that movie started, that was a Sandler movie at first.
Hey, we're going, shut up.
That was good. That's really good.
That
was great. I originally developed that for Sandler, and then I'm such a huge Cube fan that we were in a meeting, and I just said, hey, you know, if you ever wanted to do anything, you know, you've done comedy, you've obviously done, you know, drama. You know, he and Cuba is one of my really dear friends, and so that's how we kind of got to know each other. And I said, do you ever want to do a family movie? He goes, absolutely. So I just pitched him the idea, and he said, that sounds amazing. We just redeveloped it for him. So it was just a total coincidence that we happened to see eye to eye on that. And he really was adamant about putting you in that role.
Cube?
Yeah. I think probably because of seeing you and Jerry, I would imagine.
I was in Jerry Orbach once, and that's what you're talking about?
No, Jerry McGuire.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, whatever.
Or that.
Jackie Cation and the Dork Forest are in episode number 320. And she's visiting with Will Wheaton.
Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. We're in the living room in Van Nuys. It's very glamorous. I'm here with Will Wheaton. Welcome
Hello.
To the program.
Very happy to be here.
It's a program. We met, I did stand-up, you did storytelling and
yeah.
sketch stuff.
Your stand-up killed that night.
Oh.
It killed. In front of an audience that I just didn't think was going to be a, like, into it audience because we had the worst heckler in the history of life.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was weird because it was in L.A. in a theater.
Yeah, the Complex, which I've never met a person who's doing theater in L.A. who's like, oh, it's at the Complex. Great.
Right.
I can't wait.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to drive to Santa Monica at 4 o'clock. And then after we're going to leave at about 5:30 and then we're going to the Complex. It's going to be amazing.
Right. It is in the weirdest. It is not a great, and there's nowhere to park.
There's nowhere to park. And also
and there's no valet parking.
Right. And there's also some kind of like, there's some weird kind of sound that only like lunatics can hear. And it draws them into the audience.
Right. It's like a high pitched whine that says, yeah. And the only thing open is a liquor store.
Yeah.
Like if there's nowhere to get coffee.
Right.
I don't understand why there's nowhere to get coffee. That actually is offensive to me. That, I mean, other people want a soda. Other people want a beer.
Yeah.
I need, my adult beverage of choice is coffee.
Yeah. They are not going to serve your needs.
In any way, shape, or form. Yeah. If you wanted food, you would be screwed.
I did want food.
Did
and
you?
I went into that little liquor store thing and
chips?
Some chips. They had some questionable hummus, but I was feeling, I was feeling like, I'm going to do this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you try it?
I did. And I'm here.
Here you go. You've lived.
And I think I had an apple.
Oh, no. See, an apple from a liquor store?
I know, it's a bad idea.
It's ambitious.
Right, but I'd done the hummus.
You have an apple. Right, that's true, and you needed something to dip in the hummus.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. I'm not against. All right, but I have this to say, because sometimes at like 2 in the morning,
yeah,
there'll be a pushcart lady who's making hot dogs wrapped in bacon. And I don't mind that. That's a nickel.
Yeah.
And that could kill you or make you live longer. But whatever it is, it's actual food at least. Or it feels like an older Mexican woman has cared about it enough.
Whenever we leave, my wife and I have season tickets to the Kings. Mm-hmm. And whenever we leave Staples, there's always that dude who has this kind of like weird, like janky crafted, you know, street cart thing that's like a propane cylinder,
right,
and something that's not supposed to be a cooktop but has become a cooktop.
Oh yeah.
And it's covered in hot dogs and bacon and onions, and it smells so good. And I don't eat hot dogs.
Right.
And I
You were tempted just because
so
of it. It smells
tempted.
Amazing.
It smells so good.
It's like was it District 9? Was that the one with the shrimp people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast on Earwolf, his guest on episode 208 is Keith Carradine.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Willie Tyler.
This is Lester. You're listening to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast.
It nice. Is.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Our guest this week is a musician, an Oscar-winning singer-songwriter, an Emmy and Tony-nominated performer, and one of the busiest, most versatile, and most admired actors of his generation. Please welcome one of our favorite actors, an artist of many talents, and I've always wanted to say this, the son of Dracula, Keith Carradine.
Listening to that,
I feel like I'm really something, man. I had no idea.
See, I always feel like those intros should be followed with "found dead in his Los Angeles apartment."
You know what? I mean, one of these days, that could be it. You know, I hope I'm in my home and not a Los Angeles apartment. But you know,
now, hey, man, now, listen,
let me get this out of the way in front. Okay,
okay.
I'm a huge fan, and the Aristocrats, Gilbert.
Yes,
you are, in my estimation, you are the gold standard in terms of the telling of that particular joke of all jokes. You're a god, man, and I cannot tell you what an honor it is to be able to meet you and speak with you here in your world.
How about that, Gil?
Well, now that I've gotten that compliment, we don't need to interview you anymore.
Okay, that's good. Hey, I'm cool, man. I can go with something.
And I remember, this is a boring thing to turn it about me. I worked with your brother David.
Yep.
Hosted Saturday Night Live once.
Davey?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
I did not know he
1980
ever hosted Saturday
is that around?
Oh yeah.
79-80?
And they I remember at first they wrote bits for him that he was ready to have fun.
Yeah.
And then they came up with this dumb idea that he'd play the kung fu character in each sketch and wander in and out. And by the first minute, you knew it wasn't working. And that was it. But at the end of the show, I was standing there for the goodnights. I look up in the balcony, and there's your father, John Carradine,
yep,
sitting there, like leaning, yep, his weight on a cane and... I just thought that was magical seeing him there.
Yeah, he had an extraordinary career, an amazing life. Hey, man, I come from, you know, this sort of Hollywood, I guess there's an element of dynasty about it,
sure,
I suppose, on some level, you know. But the old man, he was the first, you know, and... as my brother David liked to say, because of him, you know, we all stand 10 feet taller than we would have otherwise. So,
Wow. Eugene Merman's Audible podcast, Hold On with Eugene Merman, has him explaining the story Matt Bronger moves back home.
After 6 years, I was like, I'm going to do it. And I called my parents. I'm like, I'm going to move to LA and really, really try. And they were like, wow, awesome. Our one son, our hope for all life, is going to try to make it as a stand-up comedian. Look, awesome. Good job.
Hold On. You're listening to Hold On with Eugene Merman. What if you could ask James Joyce to clarify a passage or two of Finnegan's Wake? What if you could ask Ridley Scott to explain the end of Prometheus? What if you could ask Matt Bronger to shed some light on a funny story he performed for Don't Tell My Mother in Los Angeles? Well, I'm Eugene Merman, and I'm totally here to help you with the last thing. Because I'm about to actually speak with Matt Bronger, who's been showcased on Comedy Central Presents and Showtime's South by Southwest Comedy, who's been featured in two of his own TV specials, who has a podcast that's super fun to say, Ding Donger with Matt Bronger. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Eugene. How are you?
Good. So anything we should know about the story? Any background we need to know about you, Matt?
It's a story about a real pivotal time in my life where I was kind of forced to live a certain place for a certain reason. I don't want to give away too much.
Sounds like it's going to be the story of John McCain.
It wasn't that severe, okay. No. But it was a legal mandate by our government. Ooh.
Not a foreign entity.
No.
All right, let's get into it.
My mother is a very powerful woman, very smart woman. She is, just to start off, let you know who I'm talking about, disappointing. She has a doctor of English, and she always absconded me going, you know, you can't skate through life. That's what she always said, because I skateboarded badly in middle school and some in high school. But what she meant is you can't just slip by. You can't be a C average person in life. And give you an idea of what kind of thing she does now. She works with ex-cons on writing their resumes. And because you get out of the joint, it's hard to get a job with a record. So just want to tell this real quick before I tell my story. She sat down with a particularly large, muscled, tattooed hard case convict and went over his whole resume. And the last line, she said, okay, the last line is just special skills. So anything that shows them who you are does not have to be job applicable. And then maybe you paint with watercolors, maybe you play the piano. And the guy thought about it a second, and he literally said this to my mother. He's like, well, when I was inside, you know, jail, the guards never gave me a moment's peace. You know, they hated me. I never knew why, but I never shipped none of them. Could have fucking killed them all, and I didn't. That's his special skill, not murdering. And my mother is so quick, she goes, keeps a cool head under pressure. Good one, okay. Thanks, Buzzsaw.
The Todd Glass Show on Nerdist has posted episode 343, which is an interview with his comedy friend, Pete Holmes.
Welcome, new listeners, to the Todd Glass Show.
Keep the love going with the keyboards, little dog.
What?
I'd like to point out I wasn't stoned the first time I did this show. Since then, I've listened to the show.
Wow.
A lot. And I was like, why didn't I get stoned the last time?
You know what? You were silly last time.
It was beautiful. I like
and,
being silly
and,
without stone, but without, I call it stone.
And Pete brings in chocolate with pod in it.
The good people at Kiva give me
Kiva.
I say that because it's excellent and because they gave it to me.
And look, it's just a bonus. If the product's good, which it is, what I'm about to point out is a bonus. If they get the wrapping of it, and they do, I bet they get all the other stuff
it's
that's
like
important.
It's like the font of a restaurant.
Yes.
Don't go in if you don't like that font.
You know, you're right. And watch your mouth. No, just because with all going on, you can't say anything anymore. God, those chocolate chip cookies look good. So I'm going to calm down.
Yeah.
I'm going to calm down. You know what I'm excited to say? I know you'll appreciate this. The Boing, I can't wait to my next show because he said it as a joke once. And now I can't wait to say it at a live show. I get a Boing and then I start screaming off. I picture I'm on stage, I'm doing my act. He gives me the Boing. I go, I can't hear the Boing. I need more Boing in my monitors. No, who works at this place? I want more Boing in my monitors. There's not enough Boing in my monitors. I need more. That could be me during rehearsal. Okay, stop, Todd. Stop. stop, and you don't want to rev this high for, you got to stop now, or it's just not going to be pretty. So I want to stop now and say hello.
Hello. What a beautiful space.
You've never been to this.
Not
that's
to this
right.
space. Last time I was here, we listened to my old episode because it was fun. So we listened to it for pleasure. And we listened to a bunch of episodes. And I complained. Do you remember? I complained that it was in a mechanic's place because I didn't like that a garage.
Oh, wait. But it wasn't. That's what I remember because I thought it's more. These are old vintage cars.
Yeah, even that, though.
It's what didn't you like about that?
No, it just reminded me of like my dad with a rag leaning on a Corvette going like, you like the Red Sox? Hey, you ever catch a knuckleball? And I just want to be like, I want to joke around.
Wow. So you know what? The memories are a fishy thing. Like, for instance, my friend went to Auschwitz and left depressed. And you don't think, you know? No, you don't think. You don't. You go. You're ready to have fun. And then, well, can I make jokes? I think you can make jokes.
You can make jokes.
If they're so absurd. I put my phone over there. It's off.
But did you win a reality show? Did you do this?
Did I do what?
This seems like they'd be like, they went into your place and like fixed it up for you. Repurposed wood, flat screen, curtain.
You know what? I got to say that.
Seance candle.
I never thought.
Summoning tonight?
I never thought that I could like a place better than that. Because take away your own personal demons.
Over on Earwolf, Who Charted has Natasha Leggero on the latest episode, number 388.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Who Charted? It's time for episode 388 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top 5 songs and movies of the week. It is the middle of May. She's your Natty Legs, Natasha Leggero, and I'm your H. Michael Cray, Howard Kramer.
How you doing, Howard? Wait, yeah, H. Michael Cray, okay.
Yes.
I like that.
Thank you, I like you. How you doing?
I'm good.
Go ahead.
No, nothing.
You watch that Rolling Loud festival?
Is that what you sent me? Is that what you sent me where that guy who doesn't go down on people was just yelling over things?
Yeah, DJ Khaled. You said, what, is he do anything besides yell over Rihanna? And well, it wasn't even Rihanna singing. It was just a record, right?
That was awful. Yeah. What is his talent?
He coins phrases.
Oh.
You know, he's a ultra salesman.
Is he like Diplo?
Yeah, supposedly. But I think
like he does festivals and like jumps up and down and stuff.
Yeah, and he puts artists on records. But I think he's more just of a... He's like a Diddy more than he's like a Diplo.
I like Diplo.
Yeah, Diplo's good. He's got good mixes.
But yeah, I saw that. I missed who did you send me? You wanted me to see someone else, though.
Lil Pump. Lil Pump.
Howard knows all of the live stream concerts. You must have seen everything this year.
Well, yeah, so far. I mean, we started with South By. Then we did Coachella. Last week I was doing Jambalaya.
Stagecoach.
Yep,
he sees
coach.
All of them from his couch.
It's all from the couch. But you got to admit, because I was telling you, YouTube is just as good, except for Bucket List. You can experience a lot of things YouTube. I would never fly to Miami to see that concert, but
right.
I will watch it from my house.
That's pretty cool.
So this time it was Rolling Loud down in Miami, and it was rapper after rapper after rapper after rapper.
Well, I bet that was a bad concert because
it was. I
find
read a review.
Hip-hop, and it's very bad live.
It's bad live. And there were this generation of performers, they don't really do anything except come out and just do the lyrics. There's no, like, crazy crowd interaction. They're not, like, schooled in that. It's more just, like, show up and start walking. Right into it.
What did the review say?
A horrible festival. It was in the Hard Rock Casino's racetrack. So it's basically a huge parking lot. And they said it took 10 minutes to walk from stage to stage. People bumping into you the whole time. Bad feng shui. Rain. Like the last night it was just pouring rain.
Wow.
And Lil Wayne did a no-show like minutes before his set.
Oh, see, I would have loved to see Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I saw him open for Dave Chappelle or close the Dave Chappelle show at at Radio City, and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Here's just a little bit of the Jimmy Pardo podcast, Arne Earwolf. It's called Never Not Funny. His guest on episode 2211 is John Ross Bowie. He's the actor you might know from Speechless, or he plays Barry Kripke on Big Bang Theory. Here's Jimmy Pardo.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hey, everybody, welcome into the program indeed. Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome into Never Not Funny, episode 2211, 2211, 2211. Is there any word for that? Any word for that when the numbers are all like kind of the...
I'm sure there's some
mathematical 2211, 3344...
Yeah,
these are examples.
So two of the same digit.
Yeah, I gotta
it's a special one because 22 is twice 11.
This is a special one. You're right about that. I guess that's what I was getting at. Is there any special word for that?
Like a word, not the word palindrome, but a word like palindrome that means that, whatever that is.
Using a back scratcher for those that are.
I dare you
not
to try
watching.
To look that up. If you could find this out, that will be amazing. And I will take back what I said. And we just recorded an ad that you'll hear later, but we just already did it. Where I insulted his research skills.
You insulted him to his face. This guy's down on his luck. This guy's begging on
Facebook.
No way.
Oh, well, he's... But he's feeling great. He's a new man.
I'm with you. Then you know. But then this is the twixt and the tween of a guy who hasn't handled his medication. Now today we get Sad Sack Garen back on
Facebook.
There's
no Sad Sack. I'm
not
Sad Sack.
Oh, it's the saddest thing I've ever read in my life. It's the worst. And I read The Kite Runner.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Did you ever read that?
No.
I loved it.
Did you read the sequel?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I didn't either.
I didn't like it. The Kite Runner, though, I mean,
there was a sequel.
Sobbed.
Is that The Kite Catcher?
Do I have to pack up my laptop already? It's only been 2 minutes.
Could you just, and I know that you're not the most athletic, Garen. You know, your sport is trivia. Can you pick up your backpack and throw it at Elliot? Do you think you can even make it that far?
I could, yeah, because it doesn't have my laptop in it.
Okay.
It does have a big Stephen King book inside of it, though.
It does it?
Yeah.
When you said Steven, I thought you said steaming.
I thought
and
you
I was
did
like,
too.
Where is
what,
this going?
I know. I'm like, what the?
It's got a big steaming pile. Of,
oh, boy.
Depending on which Stephen King book, maybe it is a steaming pile. He's written a lot of them. A lot
Where
of good, a lot of bad.
Right? Well, listen, not everything,
you can't
not everything we've done
every
is perfect.
Sometimes you strike out at swinging. Sometimes you strike out looking.
Nah. What do you think of The Green Mile, Garen, as a guy that loves Stephen King? What do you think of that? The novelized version of that? Serialized version, rather.
I liked it a lot. I'm actually doing that same thing on my
Oh, that's
Patreon.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's one of the few Stephen King books I've actually read because I loved the concept of these little...
Do you like the payoff?
Of the story?
Yeah, I don't like the payoff. I loved the journey.
In book form, I thought it worked and I enjoyed it. And then I saw the movie and I was like, this wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot
it does
for
happen.
Me. Like on the page, I'm like, cool. But when you visualize some of those things, it just seems corny. Like just the whole idea of him, what is he doing? Even eating anger, or what is he? What's his whole deal?
He eats sickness and illnesses.
Yeah,
he?
Right.
Yeah,
he, like, takes it on, and
yeah, that's a cool concept when you're reading it, and then when you see it, you're like, eh.
That's all for this week's Today's Comedy Podcast, and it's just a few of the many, many out there. We encourage you to seek out the full length versions of what intrigued you this hour, and send us your suggestions so that I can check out your favorite overlooked podcast. My email is pod@todayscomedy.com. I'm George Gamark. Thanks for listening, and keep your ears open.